Good morning. So we've been talking about vision and all that stuff this morning. Well, it's exactly what I want to talk about, but in a different total way. But it does have to do with the thing. I like the thing to do with remembrance, that things can be brought to my mind. This has been a really good study for me. I've had a lot of fun doing it. There's a lot of information that I want to share in the beginning about this tabernacle. And then you're saying, a few weeks ago I got to share about it, but I'm going to share about it again at a different look at it. So actually in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So I'm going to pray that this morning, that he brings to remembrance what I need to share this morning, and that we know he's being sent by God,
and that's what he does.
Oh, there you go. Something happened then. And then also in John 15:26, it says the Holy Spirit will testify of Christ. And then in John 16:14, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Talking about how even the Holy Spirit glorifies. So everything that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us is going to point us to Christ. He's going to glorify him and he's going to bear witness. So if we get done today and you see the Lord at all, that means the Holy Spirit has been working because we've seen Christ. And I'm just going to lay it out like that, because that's the only way that I could ever share anything with you. I have no clue on my own, and I believe the Holy Spirit teaches any of us. It's not just one person has the gift of teaching. Anyone when we set before the Lord. So let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for this morning and that you want to be with us today, but every single day of our lives, and that how we need you every day. And we ask for your Spirit to lead us in this scripture this morning and this story. And amen. And then there's another guy I always like to bring up, one of my favorite guys in the Bible, Obed-Edom, and how the ark fell and rested in his yard, and he didn't move it. He didn't try to touch it. He didn't try to move him around and put God over here or say, or they need God, or I need to do this with God. You know, he let him rest, and people went by and he flourished. His life flourished. Let God rest in your heart. Let him rest in there, you know. And so I want to look at some of this stuff. I'm going to just take off the top of this. This is really for me, so I can stay focused on what I want to talk about this morning. And I know we can't do it, but the tabernacle, I'll just explain a little bit of it. This area, the whole area that they would set up back then, was like 150 foot wide long and 75 foot wide, right? That's how that would go. And of course, you all know they would take that down and move the whole thing somewhere else. And they would do it and they'd set it back up exactly the same way every time. So even like the front courtyard here where the sacrifice was, where you come, and I said before, we accept the Lord and he's our Savior, then we're cleansed in that area, right? Because I'm going to get into how this is a picture of us and how this is a picture of a relationship with the Lord. And so that area is about 90 foot of area of walking around. There's about 15 foot around the holy place and the Holy of Holies that you can walk all the way around each side of it. Somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, give me a few feet. That's why I asked Walt a while ago how big this is, and trying to see how much room. But the Holy of Holies is only 15 by 15. I thought, wow, God's got the smallest spot in the whole place. You know, I'm thinking, wow, he didn't even want the gigantic room. Different demand, isn't it? I want the big house. I want the big home. I want the big... And there, but the holy place we're going to talk about today, the holy place, is 30 by 15. So it's a little bit bigger. And I'm just giving you the dimensions, because what I'm doing is just getting my head in gear to where I've been thinking and how I've been walking around this thing. Now, this thing, when they set it up, is set exactly east. This is an important point. Every time it's east. Well, that's actually west. If you go right here like this, I brought a compass in here yesterday. Due east is right that way, just like that. So I really would turn it around, but I need it facing this way because I want to show you something. But they always set it up due east. And I thought that's amazing that they would do that. Every time has to be, the front has to face where you enter in. The priests enter in through this first curtain right here, and they head west toward the veil, and then Christ, God is beyond that. And I thought, that's amazing. Every time, the repetition that God had, I wouldn't have been a good tent setter-upper. You know, I'd have been a few degrees off, you know. You know, oh, you know, how they did all that.
That's just amazing that he would do it, and he had to be that way. So I think about that, and I want to get into the Holy of Holies. Now, Kathy's not here. She went with the kids. And she's already heard it over and over and over. But I'm trying to stay on focus, because when I started seeing the Lord in this, I'd like to just go right to the end and go home is what I like to do. Here he is. There you go. See you. Let's go. Right? But the study of it was awesome. So I started looking in that Holy of Holies. And we see in Exodus, and Aaron and his sons tend it in there. So it wasn't just like the Holy of Holies, they could only get in once a year. But in this, every day they were in there tending the wick on the candlestick in the holy place. They were in there doing that. They were taking care of that wick and messing with that and doing it. And they did the showbread and all those kind of things they were doing. And then I got thinking about my daily life. What do I do during the day and how I would approach this? Because when we're saved, we've been cleansed. Well, we are like priests to the Lord. We're like ministering to the Lord. We're like, what should we be doing? So we become priests. So what do I do if I enter into this tabernacle? How does this thing look to me? So, that's how I start approaching it. Because I need help tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning. And you all know that. If you know me, you know that, I'm going to mess up before any of you do. And I always say that because it's the truth. For me to stand here and share any of this, it's a privilege that God would dwell in such a heart. I'm not going to cry today. I made my mind up. Today's not a cry day. I'm not going to do it one time. I'm going to fight it all the way. Right? And I made that. That's probably the worst thing I could have said. Yeah. And so I'm going to talk about one thing about in the Holy of Holies. It's the ark. Just for a second. I just want to bring that ark up, and how God dwelt in that ark. But the ark, the showbread table, and the altar of incense were all made with wood covered in gold. They were all covered in gold. And I'm looking at that. Then I read about the lamp. And the lamp is made of solid gold. All those pieces, even where God's spirit was and all that, it was wood wrapped in gold. The showbread table, or communion table, wrapped in gold. The ark, and I thought, wow, the candle is, solid piece of gold. One piece of gold. And they had workmen come in there and beat and bang on that thing, right? And beat. And some of the flowers that were growing, that they did on it were perfectly. So I've been looking at flowers at home, never been a detailed guy like that. And I'm looking at all the flowers and how they would close up. Some of it, they would protect them at night and the flowers close up and all that. So God made all this stuff. He had some guy chisel out of a solid piece of gold these seven candlesticks. And I kept looking at that thing and I'm thinking, that's a great thing. So we see that I got to do something with this. This isn't going to work. I'm going to have to just forget the notes and go at it. And so they start looking at it, and we'll go in there, and I go in the room. I'm going to do it just like I would. I go in, and I start looking around. I'm walking in here. I'm going in this temple, and I'm thinking, all right, God, here's the candlestick. All right, let me look at it. So I'm looking at all the gold, right, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm seeing it. And then the light is brighter, and I even wanted to, bring lights in here and turn the lights out and set candles on to show you how bright it would get in here just from seven candles. And it would be really bright, be brighter than you would think, because that was the only light that was in that room, was those candles. So that gold, so I'm in there and I'm looking at it. And so the first thing I start thinking, when the light's shining on it, I start looking at myself. And I'm going, wow, man, I need work here. Look at that. Boy, that's God's light. It's shining. And I start looking at myself. Going, man, what is that? Oh, wow. What an attitude you have sometimes. I actually got in an argument with this lady that I've been working for, right? She called me on the phone. It was like 7:30 at night. I lost my cool instantly. And here I am in the room walking around going, what is this? I lost my cool. Here I am. What am I doing, God? Look. And I'm looking at myself going, boy, that light, I don't like that light shining on me. I'm looking at myself, I'm going, whoa, that's not a good example at all. The best part was when I went to go see her the next day, she comes running out of the house. Man, I'm sorry. Because on my way, I was going to apologize to her. And we met at the door. And what a difference it made from that moment on when we both apologized to one another. Right away. You could say what you want. The presence of the Lord was there. Because I'm coming with the attitude, man, I was out of line. Right? And I'm thinking, boy, that light reflecting on me, saying, boy, you need a mess of work, Rick. Oh, wow, that's pretty wild. So I said, I want to get away from that light. Whew, that's bad. I don't want to look at that. So I go over to the next thing is the altar of incense. So I go look at that, and it's a sweet smell. If you read the scriptures, it goes up over the curtain into the Holy of Holies where God gets a sweet smell. So, you know, you're a Christian, you're offering, oh God, look what I did, God. I went and I apologized. Look at me. Look at that sweet smell coming from me, God. You know, look at what I did. Oh, I went and I talked to Johnny and we talked about the Lord. Look how good we are. You know what I mean? That's my offering. That's what I'm offering up. And I'm sitting there going, oh, that's amazing. But, you know, I'm wondering, I'm looking at the incense, and I started reading about that oil and the incense. And then if you read in chapter 30 of Exodus, it goes into great detail about how he made it, what they had to do, you know, and you put this so many of this, and you put so many of that, and you put all these ephods, and you do all this, whatever that ephod is. I still don't know what that is. And he had all this emerald. Then you had frankincense, and that took me right to when Christ was born. Because of the frankincense that they brought to him. I know, wow, there he is already showing up, right? And so I'm looking, and they're doing all that. And it even says that they anointed all the stuff that goes in there. They put that oil, and they anointed even the pieces that were in there. And I'm thinking, man, I'm not sending anything sweet up. I'm telling God, look what I did for you. Look what I did. Look, you know what I mean? I'm at the altar thinking that's praising him. Look at me. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm looking around. I thought, wow, that's not working. I need to, you know, get away from that. But the point about those incense, even the incense, the way they made them, all the herbs, all the stuff they used, all had to be perfectly made and used. And you couldn't use it on your body or you were cast out. If you tried to use that yourself, because they smelled so good, some of them, people wanted them. They wanted to use it. And God says, if you use that, you're cast out. You're done. This is only for me. These incense are for me. This is what this is for. I want that sweet smell coming over. And I want that coming out. And I'm thinking, well, here I am at the altar of incense. What am I sending up? What am I sending up? What kind of smell is going up over that curtain? Into the Holy of Holies. I'm thinking, man, that's... And I'm thinking about that curtain. Let's look at that for a second. Right? That thing, some say 30 feet high. Some say 60 feet high. If you want to read it, we'll go 30 foot. And we'll go 30 foot wide. That would be as wide as that wall right there almost, at 30 foot. And then it's even 4 inches thick. But the thing is, it was made with thread. So I've taken thread at home and took a long piece of thread, and you can't even see it in 30 foot hardly. And they were able to make that into pieces, and they wound it together, and there's cherubim and these angels and all the stuff they were able to weave into that thing. All the detail through one little thread. He handed it, so you stand there looking at that thing and thinking your incense are going up. Then you turn and you think, man, that's not getting me nowhere. I'm like, man, I'm just beating my head against the wall. I don't know if God hears me. Has he heard anything I've done? Has he heard me? He's not answering my prayers. Nothing's happening. What's going on? So I go, this is me, man. I go to the next little show table, to the communion table. We have communion here every week. I'm not against it. It's not what I'm saying. But sometimes, do I ever, and everything I'm talking about is about me. I'm not pointing a finger at none of you. This is how I'm seeing it. So I do I ever go, oh man, communion again. Here we go. Let me go get my cups. Look at me, God. Look at me, Christians. All of you, look, I'm doing my part. I'm being a good Christian. This is what a Christian looks like, Steve. And we go along, we look good, and we take our communion. And I'm going, man, this is nothing. I'm not getting nothing out of this communion. I don't get it. You know what I mean? I'm at the candlestick. All I see is me, man. I need to get work needs to be done. I go and I'm offering this incense. I get nothing. Look, God, I'm doing all this. How come my prayers aren't answered? How come things aren't going the way I want them to go? What's the deal? Right? So I go to the table and the same thing. No, nothing's happening. Right? I'm just, communion time. Here you go, Kevin. Take your communion. Take it. Is that how I'm approaching the holy place? I started thinking, man, that's how I'm approaching. look at what I'm doing. I'm seeing myself in the candlelight. Man, that's not, whoo, let's turn them candles off. That wick would go out. I don't want you to see that. I don't want to see your junk. I don't want, you know what I mean? We have prayer requests that's different. You come in here, you pray for people. That's what it's about, because you're lifting someone up out, you know, up out of whatever is going on. We've heard some serious prayers this morning, right? And the so I started messing around. I'm looking. I even wondered about the floor. What was it made out? Because there's certain things. It says take dust from the floor, put it in the jar, and mix it. You ever read them scriptures? Right? And they're talking about doing that. I go, well, is the floor dust or is it wooden floor? Well, there's no, I couldn't find any. And I called one of my, call it walking commentaries up. And I said, what do you know? And they said, there's no, they have no idea of any scriptures about what the floor was. And they said, but the dust of the earth is what we were from. From dust we return. And I thought, wow, that's perfect. Take that dust and mix it in. So here's where I kept messing. And I kept looking at it. And so I'm walking around. I'm going, well, there I am in the Holy of Holies. What's happening? In much of a Christian life, thinking to myself, well, that's all I'm doing, I'm looking at myself. Phew, we don't want to reflect that on nobody, right? What kind of vision's that? Somebody look and see. Because that candle, right, was made with such pure gold. And it even says, scriptures say, I got three scriptures that say, it is to light what's in front of it. That candle, it says that. The scripture says exactly that. That candle is made to light what's in front of it. And I thought, well, that's pretty wild. Light, well, if you're going to look in here and I'm looking and I see that stuff and the anger and the junk in my life, right? So I go out, me walking through here. I'm going through this town. I'm thinking in my mind, this is how I'm thinking. I go back out of here and I look and I go, there's a sacrifice and there's the cleansing laver out there, right? So I'm in the courtyard back in my mind, walking around. I'm back out. I'm done with the Holy Holies. Nothing's happening. God's not hearing me. This thing isn't happening. I'm just taking communion. What's that? You know, Christ. So I go back out and I look, and what do I see outside there? I'm walking around in the general area. What do I see? I look and I know I'm saved. When you're in the Holy Holies, there's no doubt you're saved. Right? You've been sacrifice has been made. His name is Jesus. And it's been done. So you look at that. You're out there. You go, yeah, that's true. There's the laver, which means where they washed their hands and got cleansed and all that. You've been cleansed because you've accepted Christ as your sacrifice. So I'm out there. I said, that's cool. Now, you know, I'm seeing it. I'm going, huh, what do we have here? What do I need to do? I was thinking, I got to go back in here. Now, I didn't do this one time. I'm just giving you one walkthrough. This is overall. Some time of thinking about this. So I go walking back and I'm thinking, do I go back in? Do I want to see myself again? Do I want to see what I'm offering up to God? Do I want to mess with the tabernacle again? And I'm looking and I'm going, no, I've been cleansed. I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. Every one of you know it's different in your life when you accept Christ. Right? You got to remember where you come from. Remember, He did the work. Remember, it's because of Him we're cleansed, right? Go right back out and take a good look at where you come from. I want to go back in the Holy Holies with a different look. I need a different vision. I need to see it differently. Because all the stuff I saw in there, sure, Rick needs work. Sure, Rick, you know, wants to, sure, I want to look like I'm doing something for the Lord. Sure, I want to take communion because I believe in it. But is it sometimes just a thing to do sometimes? Sure, it's happened to me. So then I said, let's go back in, take a peek. Let's go look in here. So first off, this little curtain, when they opened it, it's facing east. I want you to think about something. Who tomorrow morning is going to doubt if the sun's going to rise? You never consider it, do you? You never think about it. Nobody in the whole wide world, I don't care what your religion is or no religion or nothing, you know that sun's coming up. You don't even think about it. That's how faithful God is. That's why that thing was facing east. I don't have a scripture to prove it. This is my thought. It's facing east. When those guys go in, when that curtain opens, the only light shining in there is God's light. He created that. He created that sun, and He created this to face the east. He opens it. They step in. The only light shining in there is His light. Not my light. It's not about what Rick's seeing or what Rick sees in himself or what he's offered up, he thinks he's offered up, or what me going to the communion and doing those things. So I go back in. And I'm thinking, when I open that gate, the first thing I think is, God's light's going to be shining. We're going in looking at what we're supposed to be looking at. So I go in, and I start looking at that. I'll go right to the lamp. I go to the lamp. Let's get back into the detail. How they built it, they carved it out. Perfect, beautiful gold that reflects. Aaron and his sons were in there tweaking that light so it'd be perfectly burning. Right? And it's reflecting out, and it's reflecting on them. Right? And then you start looking, you see the beauty of it. And it's, that candle would light up a lot of room in here. So you're looking at that, and you're thinking, man, look at that. So I'm looking, the gold's reflecting, I can see the reflection, and then it catches my eye. The light of the world. That light is an absolute picture of Christ shining. And I start looking at it. It's not shining on me to show me my faults. It's shining on me to start looking at Him. I start looking at that candle. Then I want to tweak that candle. Then I want to mess with it because I want to see the scriptures. Let me get what I got here. And the lampstand, because it starts taking it off of me. Don't look at yourself. When you go before the Lord, look at Him. Look at the light. That light's shining perfect. After a while, the gold fades away. You don't even look at the gold anymore. You don't look at that chisel piece, right? And all you do is you see the light of Christ. And Christ says, what am I? I am the light of the world. When I am in the world, the light shines, you know? Let me find my scriptures so I can get them. John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. His light is in that Holy of Holies. It's only Him. John 1:4. In Him was life, and light was the light of man. So I'm starting to look. Oh, there's another candle. So we got at least 7 scriptures that say that candle's about Him. That's the light we want to reflect. I want to study about Him. So if you're standing in front of me, I can share a little bit of Christ. The reflection's going to be Him. You're not going to be looking at the gold. And the gold, we are all candlesticks. See, you all are holding the light of Christ. You become the candlestick. You're purely made in God's image. He made you exactly. He carved you out as a person of what you're to be. And you're to reflect Him. Your light is to shine. And people look. They won't even look at you no more. They look at Ryan. And all what went on over there, and they sent him back, right? And all that. But a couple weeks before, when you gave that testimony about how you thought your time was good to go, right? The light was shining. The light of Christ was shining in Ryan. It wasn't about him. It was Christ that came through. See, in that light, when you're standing there, you see that. Luke 7. Because of the tender mercies of God, which the Son has risen from on high to visit us. The sun is rising. The light is coming. He is here. That lamp is a picture of what reflect. What are you reflecting? Can you see Christ at all in those lights? Can you see that He is the light of the world? I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining in you. Do you know that that light of Christ is already in you? Because of what happened out here in the courtyard. Because of the sacrifice. Because you were cleansed. Now you're in there. Now you're getting this relationship going. You're starting to see the Lord. You go, wow, it's not about me. Whew, I'm glad we don't have to look at that. Let's look to Him. And Obed-Edom in the Old Testament, right? He became a doorkeeper in the temple. And what did he do? He'd hold the door open and say, go see God. He was a doorkeeper. Pointing people to God. Pointing people to Christ. And that's all we can do is reflect Him. You don't want to look at me. You're going to be a loser. You're not going to get nowhere. Nothing's going to happen. You know, but if you point people to the true light, the candlestick fades and the light shines bright. And I wasn't sure where to share this. This is something I stuck in there, right? Your eye is the lamp of your body. How many people talked about their eyes this morning? Right? Your eye is the lamp of your body. Right? And if your eyes are healthy, your body is also full of light. So can you see any light? I'm hoping you see some Christ out of what I'm sharing this morning, because that's what it's about. And it'd be cool to be a candlestick. If you could focus on the light, you never see me. You won't see me. You'll see Christ, because that's all we got. If you're going to live a good life, right? John 6:12-36. Believe in the light that you may become what? Children of the light. Thought about that little child we're praying for this morning. They can become children of the light. And that's what we are. Children are light. You are perfect in God's eyes. He made you. He chose you. He chiseled you. He made things to protect you. Right? Work on that relationship. That tweaking of that light. Get there. Get your eye on the light. Get away from the candlestick and look at all that God has to do. And before I leave the lamp, I want to share a story. And you guys probably heard me say it. This has to do with my dad. And I probably shared it right here before, but I got to share it again. 2 days before he died, I go down in the middle of the night. It was in January, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up. I said, I got to go see Dad. I want to see what's going on. Well, we had people at the house take with him. And so I go down, and it's dark in the main part. I go around the back to where he always sit, and I see a light on. Right? And here he is in a chair with a light over his shoulder reading the scripture. 2 days before he passes, he's in the light. The light's shining. He's in the light. He's in the word. He's tweaking that candle. He's in there still. And he knows he's not. He's ready to go. And I go, so I tap on the window. My dad wasn't flighty, so you could do that. Right? Oh, come on in, bud. Come on in. I go in the house, and everybody's asleep. Dad had snuck out in the back room and alone with the Lord, working on that candle, working on that relationship. He was before the Lord. And what's great about it, my dad preached for, what, 50 years all over the place, and he's in a back room, and nobody knows where he's at. He's by himself, and he's still doing the same thing, seeking Christ. He said, isn't it amazing how faithful he is? Isn't it because of his mercy we're here today? His great grace, Rick, is the only reason why we're able to walk around. And I went, wow. And that's what he said. And then 2 days later, he passed. But that light, he was still in there. Never lost sight of that light. So I want to go to the turn quickly. I'll speed up because I know we were late starting. The go, and that light is on the north side or on the south side. And if you turn and look, there's the showbread. There's the table. And now you've got the light bright. You're looking at the light. Everything's shining. You tweak that thing right down. You know you're in the presence of the Lord because you're seeing Christ. It's not because you got a great idea. Because you're starting to see Christ in this holy place. You're starting to see Christ in your life. It's because the Holy Spirit is with you. It's because he's here. It's not a far off thing. It's not like he's way over there and then you go to church on Sunday. It's every day. So he turns and he looks at the showbread. We look at the showbread. And I look at that table, right? Even when I took it this morning, I thought about this, right? And then there he goes. It says, John 6:47. Mostly assurant, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life, because I am the bread of life. No longer was the show table about me coming up, trying to look like I'm doing something. Like I'm in communion. It's time for communion. Look at me. I'm taking it, right? You come in here, and it's because of what he did. I am the bread of life. So I start looking in that place, the holy place, and I'm going, wow, that's amazing. Now I'm seeing even the table. It's about him. He's the bread of life. How many scriptures can every one of you in here probably quote or know or look up that says, I am the bread of life? Feed on him. Go to that table. And even there's a little table there with some wine and something to drink. It's an actual communion table. And it says, this will be with me for all time. Communion with Christ forever. Communion with God forever. It's no joke. It's way back here in this place, the Holy of Holies. This communion is nothing new. It's not just started here at Family Ministries or wherever. They've been doing it for however old this is. What, 2,000 years, 3,000 years? I don't know how old it is, right? But there you are. There's the bread. So you turn, you look at that, and you go, wow, he's the bread of life. Oh, wow, what vision am I seeing now? Look how clear. This is perfect. Now I got something to hand to you. Instead of me, look at me, man. I got communion. Here's Christ. Come feast on him. Come look at what he's done. He sacrificed. He cleansed you. He did all that through the blood of the Lamb. Right? And I start, wow, this Holy of Holies is really cool. Look at this place, the holy place. What a place to be. thinking, and we have privilege and access. It's to see Christ. It's not to look like I look better. It's not to make me look like I'm a good guy or I'm this or that. Because if I point you to him, you're not looking at me. You don't care about what I've done. You're not worried about it. Well, Rick, see, he's telling us to go look at this guy. Don't look at my testimony or what I've done. Look what Christ has done. Look what he did. He laid his life down for every one of us. He is the bread of life. Right? You shall set the bread of the presence of the table before me at all times. I didn't just say that. I had to bring that scripture out because I say stuff and I don't have the. And so everything I'm saying, I've got here in the scriptures for me. So if I can look down and go, yep, there it is again. So I know that I'm not just giving you something that sounds good. So I'm looking and I see that. I say, isn't that amazing? Now he's the bread of my life. On that golden table, that was wood, golden table, wrapped it. So I thought, there we go. So then I want to go over to the altar of incense. And so I go back and I'm thinking about that altar. And so I go back now. I get before it. I'm thinking, okay, I was here last time. God, look, I prayed with Johnny or I prayed with my sister or we talked about Jesus. Look at that last time when I was in there under my light, not under God's light. When you come in, you see God's light, candle, you see the light. He doesn't want to embarrass you at all. He doesn't want you to be feel down at all. There's no guilt when you accept him as Lord and Savior. He doesn't bring it up and throw it in your face like, well, you know, you need to do this and you better get in this class and you better do this. No, seek him. Work on it. I want you to get that candlelight stuck in there. And so I get to that communion and I go to the incense, the table of incense. And I get before him and I go, all right, Lord. Over here to the north is the lamp. That's you. Over to the south, there's the showbread. That's you. Right? I'm going to lift him up. Right? I'm going to lift up Christ before you. There's the sweet smell he wants. He wants us to lift up the name of Christ. Right? And I'm standing there and I'm thinking about that. Right? And we all know the veil was ripped when Christ died on the cross. And it says it was ripped down. You think that 4 inches wide, 30 foot high. The thing was ripped right down. So in your walk with the Lord, you're in your tap, you get in there, you start praising, the veil's gone. I'm going, it's gone. I am actually, there's no in between place between me and the Lord. Right? I go, well, that's pretty wild because I started lifting him up instead of going, God, what did I do? You know, I've done this, I've done that. Right? The veil is gone. And then you're in the presence of God. And how you know you're in the presence of God? Because you see Christ. Right? It's not a big mystery. It's not some great philosophy thing. Right? You are, every time you're reading the Word, you're tweaking the candles, you're taking communion, right? You're in fellowship with God. You're in fellowship. He said, this temple here, this is you. He's in here. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm carrying the Creator of all. His Spirit's alive within us. And that makes you start thinking about what you do. When that lady called me the next time, yes, ma'am. Hey, ma'am. How are you? Everything's fine. Perfect. Glad to talk to you. And then she says, that was the best conversation I've ever had. Because Wicked Rick candles were lit, man. I was mad. All this time. Now, it wasn't rage. I didn't flip nothing. Didn't cuss nobody. Didn't throw stones. Didn't tear the house down. Didn't do all the rage stuff. Right, Patsy? All that was going, but the anger was in there. And I couldn't believe it. It was that quick. All these years. Right? And I went, oh, man. I'm not working on the right candle. Quit looking to Rick. As you go, oh, no. Get it. What is this? Let's go back in. And we tweak down. The candlestick fades. There's 7 lights. You don't even have to see it. The light is so bright, the candlestick is nothing. It might be perfectly made, but it doesn't matter. The light it's carrying is the light of Christ. Your eyes are reflecting what the Lord's done in your life. I thought, wow, that's amazing that he could do that in this old tabernacle. I'm almost done. Half of you asleep. This is the first time John's ever heard me share anything. There you go, John. You're going to be my neighbor, man. It's a good man right there. Poor guy. He'll be moving out real quick. See a for sale sign. But I just tell you, he wants you to know it's about a personal relationship with him. Quit looking to yourself. This stuff in there absolutely needs work. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I can't even begin to say, you know. But at the same time, start looking, tweaking on them candles. Every day, Aaron and his sons were in there. It wasn't like, oh, Sunday morning, we're going to go in and tweak the candles. In the morning, in the evening. If you only got a couple days left, are you looking to the light? Are you searching it? Are you asking him to shine bright in your life? Are you asking him? Because I have nothing for you except for him. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing, man. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to con you. I'm going to trick you into doing something. And I guarantee you, man, it's not going to be good. If I'm Obed-Edom, may he rest in my heart. May you know that. And all you got to do is point him to Christ. I love that Obed-Edom story. When I first learned that 20 years ago, I still talk about it. Amazing. He let him rest. Let God rest in your heart. You're in communion with him. The veil is down. It doesn't exist. The King of Kings is in here. He's in your heart. He only wants a little spot because that's all he needs for all his power. The power of God lies within you. Imagine that. Thrills me. I'm starting back over. Right back to page 3. I don't know how I got to that. I'm going to start throwing them, right, Steve? All right, that's about all I want to say. And there's my mom's tabernacle she made. It's been in a closet. I pulled it out, 6 weeks ago, Patsy? And I'm stuck in that thing, man. I can't get out. I love it. To think that you're the King of Kings. I mean, the Creator of all. My dad used to say to me, Rick, go outside and look at that tree. He'd have you looking at the tree. And you're standing there like this, right? And looking at the tree. No joke. He spoke that into existence. He'd say it just like that. He spoke it into existence. That's your King. If he can speak that a tree in existence, stand there long enough, he might speak it out. I'm like, Dad, I don't even want to hear that. I don't want the tree to disappear on me all of a sudden. But he said, that's the power of God. And what can he do for you if he can create all this universe? And don't forget, that sun's rising tomorrow morning. Every day in your life, Christ is rising. He's there. Tweak the candles. Get before him. Seek him in this word. Quit looking at yourself. Look to him. He made you perfect to carry his light. I love that, man. I'm perfect in his sight. That's amazing. All right. Lord, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for your vision that we see you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us at all times. Every day the veil is gone. And the King of Kings lives within us. May we become lights for you, that we can point people to the light. That's what I mean. Point people to the light, which is Christ. And he's the bread of life. And we worship you, thanking you for all that your Son has done for us. May this be a sweet smell to you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.